More human bones were found at a Haines gravel pit, and concerns around the preschool emerge at a Haines school board discussion. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. The state medical examiner determined last week that the initial assessment of a human skull found in Haines was correct. He released the skull, and now it's on its way back. Meanwhile, the nod from the state also means that the two sites where the skull came from and was ultimately unearthed were cleared for closer examination. More bones and fragments were found this week at both the Bald Eagle Foundation and the gravel pit at 6.5 Mile. More pieces of skull, two leg bones, and a shard of pelvis were uncovered on Sunday and Monday, filling in a few gaps on the story of this mystery person. Anastasia Wiley is the archaeologist heading up the study. The two original skull pieces were found earlier this month in a pile of dirt that was delivered to the foundation from the site up the highway.
It's a, you know, like a treasure hunt almost. I mean, you're trying to find as much of this individual as you can, because she or he will ultimately be reburied, repatriated to the tribal group and reburied. You have a demeanor of respect and dignity because this is an individual. And because people get excited, you know, they're finding something. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's, you know, always keep in mind that you're dealing with an individual. And that in itself is stressful to some extent.
Wiley's initial assessment that the bones are that of a Native American woman or a small man who is middle-aged or older was accurate, according to the medical examiner. But much more work needs to happen to make a more specific analysis.
So there's a lot of measurements that will help us pinpoint it statistically so that we can turn around and say chances are very good that it's one or the other. I was, of course, very pleased that the medical examiner agreed with me. And, you know, that made me feel good and gave confidence to the police department and so forth.
She says the new remains found look to belong to the same person. Once the medical examiner released the skull, Wiley got busy rallying the troops, or volunteers, including local cultural resource specialists and some residents with training from Wiley. Representatives from the Chilkoot Indian Association, Chilkat Indian Village, and the Champaign Asiac First Nation from the Yukon also showed up to help.
So, with all these people, we did a systematic screening program, and we used a series of nested screens, we call it, where you go from very small, like eighth-inch screen mesh, all the way up to, we had, let's see, eighth-inch, quarter-inch, three-eighths-inch, half-inch, and then one-inch and three-inch. So we went all the way up the gamut, and you always start with the smallest.
Most of the screening was done by hand, with helpers carefully sifting through yards and yards of dirt, looking for more remnants. At the site up the highway, they had a mechanical screen that helped move the process along. All told, they went through about 12 yards of dirt at the Eagle Foundation, which is where they found more skull fragments, the side and pieces that belong between the eye sockets. On Monday, the group went through about 50 yards of dirt at the gravel pit, which is where the back of the skull and leg bones were found.
It was femur and the tibia, so your upper and your lower right leg of the person, and a small piece of the pelvis. And we excavated all around where that came from, and there was nothing else. And, you know, the situation is that these bones were coming out. They had slumped down from above, but they were coming out of an area where there's a lot of soils movement, and there were river deposits, river and glacial deposits there as well.
Wiley says she can recognize bone right away, even when it's caked in dirt and discolored from minerals in the soil. And it was obvious that these bones have been in the ground for a long, long time. Wiley estimates they are anywhere from 1,200 to 10,000 years old.
The tibia, the long leg bone, lower leg bone, had a root growing right through it, and it was a cottonwood root.
Wiley says they dug through all the dirt they could, and while there very well could be more pieces up or downstream, the area at 6.5 Mile has been deemed clean of remains. Now Wiley is waiting for the skull to come back so she can look at all the pieces together with more scrutiny. She and her helpers will take dozens of measurements, which will tell them much more about the person.
And so the combination of the two work really well for trying to reconstruct what, you know, what the individual basically looked like.
Wiley hopes that there's enough organic matter left in the bones so that a DNA test would be possible to find out even more about who this person was and when they lived. After that, the remains will be returned to a local tribal organization for a traditional burial. The discussion over whether the Haines School should house the private Chilkat Valley Preschool continued at a school board workshop on Wednesday. The board seemed divided between two desires: on one hand, to listen to school staff who say they're already squeezed for space, and on the other, to help the organization that fills an early childhood education gap in Haines. KHNS's Emily Files reports.
The workshop was crowded with teachers from Haines School, along with parents and board members from the preschool. School Board President Anne-Marie Palmieri opened the meeting by recognizing the tension.
I just want to ask everybody to be respectful. This is an emotional issue.
The tone of this conversation was a shift from discussions near the end of last school year. That's when the board unanimously approved a memorandum of understanding that directed former Superintendent Ginger Jewell to explore the possibility of the preschool moving in. Jewell resigned a few months later. Since interim Superintendent Rich Carlson took over the job, he says he spent a lot of time on this subject.
In the last 2 months, I put in 100, maybe to 150 hours on this topic, and I talked to a huge number of people.
Carlson acknowledged the importance of early childhood education and the fact that the local Head Start program leaves some children out. Chilkat Valley Preschool fills that need. But there are potential challenges with relocating the nonprofit within the public school. Perhaps the greatest hurdle is space. Carlson said the least disruptive location for the preschool would be the superintendent's office.
By moving the preschool into the district office would more likely, or the most likely place for it to be, and to be the least disruptive again, would be to go into the old district office, which is now occupied by a class. It's a classroom. We teach three math classes in there, and it serves also as a special ed resource room. So those folks would have to move out.
And so on. Essentially, the preschool taking one space would set off a domino effect of displacement. Carlson said he was also concerned that if the board did approve the preschool move, it would hurt school staff morale.
The staff, I believe, has spoken out against this. The administrative staff has spoken out against it. Even the students have spoken out against it. And I believe it would be extremely demoralizing to the staff, and it really would impact their trust.
And then there's the financial side. Carlson said there's no way the preschool can move into the building without any cost to the district. He gave some ballpark numbers: $8,000 for relocating and $15,000 to $16,000 each year for additional staff time, maintenance, and a loss of some federal funds. Once Carlson was done with his presentation, Palmieri addressed the rest of the school board.
Any questions?
There was a long silence. This was not information that the members talked about when they initially okayed the concept of the preschool moving in. Sarah Chapel said, for her, the biggest issue is space.
The cascade of where everybody would go. And so I appreciate that you've taken a look at that. I don't know that that everything has been done to think about what else could be moved around to make sure that the impact to the students is as little as possible.
Principal Renee Martin said classrooms and staff have to move around a lot, trying to utilize every little space. She said it's a complicated, crowded puzzle. The board members said they don't want to displace students and teachers in the school, but outgoing board member Tiffany DeWitt said, what about the preschoolers' displacement?
I know we're a school district, and that's what we should focus on, but all those kids, if they're displaced, aren't going to be, where are they going to go? How are they going to come into kindergarten?
The preschool is currently in the borough-owned Human Resources Building. But the borough doesn't want to keep maintaining the old building, so the assembly has told the preschool they have to move out by the end of this school year. The preschool supporters did not have a chance to speak at the workshop. Here's preschool board president Alyssa Henry's reaction to the discussion.
It was really disappointing and disheartening.
Henry says she understands the issue of space, But she says it's about what people think is important.
If they felt like supporting preschool education was important enough, they would just do the move and people deal with it and it works out and it's fine. But I think, I mean, the feeling that I'm getting is that it's not important enough.
At the regular school board meeting Monday, the board will vote on whether to invite the preschool in. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
At a meeting this week, the Skagway School Board appointed resident Mark Smith to an empty seat on the board. Smith was one of four people who submitted letters of interest for the open seat. KHNS's Emily Files has more.
In Skagway's municipal election earlier this month, there were two open seats on the school board, but just one candidate ran. John Hischer was re-elected to his seat and nominated to continue serving as school board president. Mark Smith, Bruce Weber, Rebecca Jensen, and Mark Larman submitted letters of interest for the open seat. Here's Board President Hischer at the Monday meeting.
It is exciting to have four really great people who are interested in going to the school board.
Hischer asked the candidates a few questions about their qualifications and why they were running. Smith said he has two young kids in the school.
I saw this as an opportunity to give back to the community, help out a little bit.
Larman said he is also interested in the board because he has two kids in the district. Jensen is a lifelong resident and former Skagway school student with one child at the school.
The school is the center of our community.
Weber was the only one out of the four candidates who had served on the board before.
The workings of the school board when I was on it was not quite as joyous as it is now to you, and I think it would actually be fun to participate in this process.
After hearing from the other three candidates, Larman told the school board that he wanted to withdraw his name from the running. He said the other candidates seemed more qualified than him since they had served on other community boards. So it was between Smith, Jensen, and Weber. The three left the room while the school board deliberated. Board member Kara Cosgrove recused herself from the discussion and vote because she is married to Weber. Here's Board President Hischer.
But one of the things that I'm looking for is continuity on the school board, and it's hard to get people to run.
He said since Smith has two young children in the school, he might be more invested in serving on the board long term. In Weber's letter of interest, he said he was only interested in serving 1 year. Board member Darren Belisle said he thought Jensen might be the best candidate. He said she would do her homework and not be afraid to voice her opinion. Board member Mary Tidlow leaned towards Smith because of his experience going into a vocational field instead of attending college. That was something Smith mentioned when talking about what he would bring to the board. Here's Tidlow.
Mark offers the viewpoint of the kids who are graduating and kids who are in school that may not go on to college and whatnot, and I think that is a plus.
The board members voted 2-1 in favor of Smith. Since he was appointed and not elected, his seat will have a 1-year term that expires in the next election cycle. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.